Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hope Thinga podcast. My name is Wilma Noah, and I am the Training and Development Specialist at the Native Learning Center. We're glad you can join us today. Today's guest is Joseph Kunkel, who is the Executive Director of Sustainable Native Community Collaborative. And today's topic is post-COVID-19, what architecting a new normal means for Indian Country. Hi, Joseph, and welcome back.
Hi there. I'm glad to be back and excited to be part of the conversation this time around.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about your company and what it does for Indian Country?
For sure. So I'm Joseph Kunkel, the Executive Director of the Sustainable Native Communities Collaborative, and also the Design Director of the Sustainable Native Communities Design Lab within Mass Design Group. And Mass Design Group is a nonprofit design firm with offices around the world. I lead the Indigenous portfolio of work within Mass. We support tribal housing authorities, tribal leaders, and community members in the development of their communities, housing, health facilities, clinics, hospitals, community centers, master planning, ways in which we can bring and leverage design to have lasting impact within the community, looking at ways that we think about sovereignty, self-determination, and especially now as we face this pandemic of COVID-19 head on. So from a broader sense, we've been, as an organization, we've been supporting our partners in the relief efforts of COVID, developing guidelines for hospitals, helping to support community members in temporary facilities, supporting our partners, our restaurant partners, and developing guidelines for reopening restaurants and in safe ways, knowing that it is also part of the economy, people's livelihoods. So in any way we can, we're working to leverage design for good. And exciting, it's exciting and daunting all at the same time. So just excited to be sharing the resources and the information that we have been developing to support Indian Country.
Great. Thank you very much for that introduction. So what has the coronavirus exposed within Indian Country?
It's a big question, right? Well, I think what we are seeing is that coronavirus is highlighting the injustices, the ways in which highlighting the injustices and ways in which Indian Country is marginalized. It is really highlighting the issues that we see in Indian Country, from 90,000 homelessness or underserved families. It's highlighting the overcrowding issues that plagues approximately 30% of households in Indian Country. And it's also looking at ways in which our poor healthcare systems are not adequately equipped to deal with issues like coronavirus. It's looking at the ways in which Indian Country is geographically isolated, showing inequities in our healthcare and our educational systems on and off the reservation for our tribal population. I think it's really highlighting the ways in which our economy, what was a robust economy nationwide, is really highlighting the injustices and ways in which our economies are really struggling in Indian Country. And so it's also showing ways in which our built environment hasn't served Indian Country or our tribal populations. And in many ways, it's suppressed our population. So it's really has magnified the injustices and ways and lack of access that our tribal populations have to what many people off reservation and non-natives take for granted. So I think there's a lot of coming to being and really sitting with this information and really putting it out there for those that haven't and don't understand what our tribal populations, how our tribal populations live day to day. So it's pretty, in many ways, it's extreme.
Right. I totally get it. It's been a problem, you know, for us Native people for a while. So what opportunities lie ahead post COVID-19?
Yeah. I look at this, I'm very much an optimistic, very, very optimistic, right? I look at ways in which we can think about the opportunities and the potentials during this pandemic and really think about ways in which we can leverage our culture, our communities, our homeland, turn that around to lift up Indian country. So I'm looking at ways in which we can think about how Indian country right now is being infused with millions of dollars, right? In terms of the CARES Act, the Indian Community Development Block grants that are going out into Indian country in the near term, and ways in which we could start to leverage that funding to really impact our communities long term. I think there's opportunities even in the future as whatever Congress decides in terms of what does a Recovery Act look like. How do we prepare Indian country? How do we prepare our tribal leaders and our communities to leverage that funding in a meaningful way? And I look at examples in past histories of organizations like Native American Connections, who operate about 460 affordable units in Phoenix along a transit-oriented line, giving people access to jobs, health care, education, looking at ways in which we can develop that in a rural context, those examples, and lifting up those examples to develop a Native American Connections in rural Indian country and urban Indian country, and really learning from past examples. I'm also really excited about the work that Blue Lake Rancheria has been doing, where during the outages in Northern California last year due to fires, they were able to disconnect from the larger power grid and supply power to their population. And they also not only were able to support their own community, but they started to be a crucial player in responding to a larger emergency response to the state, so supporting non-natives as well. And so this idea of supporting and developing ways for us to prosper not only in Indian country, but within non-native contexts as well, I see that as a real potential. How do we leverage the funding that's coming to Indian country to support not only ourselves, but the larger population? And I think developers, nonprofit developers, tribal developers, contractors all have a role to play here. This is there's a real opportunity for us to be at the forefront of what recovery looks like, not only for Indian country, but for non-native communities as well. I'm also thinking about ways in which we can become providers of our own healthcare. You look at the Eastern Cherokee Nation in North Carolina and how they have leveraged their casino profits to develop what was a poorly managed Indian health services, and they took charge. They leveraged those funds to develop their own healthcare system to provide healthcare to their own people, which I look at as self-determination. And so how are we taking charge, leveraging what dollars we have access to really build economies? And I look at that as a huge opportunity.
Great. So moving forward, how do we, as people, look towards long-term recovery?
I think right now we have to dig deep. And well, first off, we have to, as a collective, as Indigenous population, we have to come together and get through this. I think that is first and foremost. How do we work with one another? How do we move forward and really work and support one another to make sure that we're getting through this with as little trauma as possible? There's inevitably going to be many thousands of people affected in Indian country from this pandemic. But I think once we start to get through this and we start to get over that hump, we need to build our capacities around community development. We need to take on project management and be leading the recovery as Indigenous peoples. Instead of going out and hiring the non-Native contractors, non-Native developers, we need to be leading the efforts internally. And I think self-determination, sovereignty starts there. Is how are we in control of the funds that we have access to? How do we set the terms and set the priorities rather than outsiders setting the priorities? And I think that's going to be not easy, put that out there. It's how are we hiring Native architects, Native developers, Indigenous-led organizations to really lift up our communities so that the next generation sees that we can do this internally and then push that forward. I see that as because it's going to influence our next generation of Native leaders. And so how do we position ourselves to be the leaders in the reconstruction, redevelopment, and recovery of this pandemic. I think this is a huge opportunity for us to kind of lead and become a precedent, become an exemplary precedent for what recovery looks like, which I find to be exciting. And then I think that can be replicated, right? This is a long-term recovery process. It's 5-10 years. And so 2-5-10 years. And how do we document and learn from this work so that we can continue it? Also, I think prepare ourselves for what the next disaster may be, whether it's natural, man-made, whatever the next pandemic or disaster might be that we face. I think if we prepare today, we'll be better prepared for tomorrow into the future. So there's a lot we can be doing.
That's great. As always, it was great to talk with you. Could you let our audience know how they can reach you?
For sure. Joseph Kunkel, I'm the design director at Mass Design Group, leading the portfolio of Indigenous work. Folks can reach out to me with questions, thoughts, comments to my email, jkunkel@mass-group.org, which is jkunkel@mass-group.org, and feel free to reach out. I'm happy to continue the conversation.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to reach me, it's WilmaNoah@simtribe.com. That's WilmaNoah at simtribe.com, SEMTRIBE.com. And it was great speaking with you, Joseph, and thank you for joining us again.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Take care now.